Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
First, I just give you an update of my physical being, since a lot of you do know and some of you ain't know that last year I battled cancer really bad and chemotherapy. Had a bottom lobe of my left lung taken off. I had to endure 7 months of chemo, but I'm cancer free. God seen me through it. I had a needle upon his promises a lot during that time, because there was a time when I got so sick that I couldn't pray, I couldn't war. All I could do is bind myself to the sword of the Spirit that I'd sunk in the sand, which is the Word of God, and believe it in faith to get me through. And that's what I encourage everyone to do. No matter what you face, believe in the promises God has spoke. Believe that Jesus is everything that he says in the Word of God he is, and that you are everything that the Word of God says you are. That is a very key thing. And that kind of brings me to where, first I'd like to declare, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a preacher, so I won't teach you anything today. That's up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for me, he's the only secure teacher. I put down 1 John 4 there, because it says that we need to test everything of the Spirit, everything, and see if it is of the Spirit of God. And I believe that no matter who's speaking, there's only one safe teacher, and that's Jesus. And everything that you hear or read outside the Bible, you need to take before God and ask him to reveal the truth in it, to let you obtain what you need to attain, and what you don't need would roll off of you as water. But I have a heart and a desire to walk with God, to be as close as Jesus as I humanly can be on this side of eternity. And by doing so and pressing in with every bit of my strength, my mind and my heart and my soul to Jesus, I've heard the Lord tell me that it is possible that we can walk with God as Enoch did. And he's told me there is Enochs alive today in this room. There's Enoch's, the one he's placed a heart within you. Maybe not be woken yet. Maybe it's just a little bit awake, but that longing is there. And that's what I'm encouraging today. And, you know, I thought the next time I'd probably get up here, I wouldn't be speaking on this. I had never no plans to do that at all. If anything, I've really devoured the book of John. I believe it's a key Bible, a key chapter in the whole Bible. Because in John, Jesus sums up his ministry upon the earth. He prepares the disciples for his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then his ascension. And what he does, he brings all of his teachings together in a new commandment that says, love each other as I have loved you. And he says there, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. If my heart, my word is alive in your heart, then me and the Father will come and make our home in you. And he says, whatever you ask, presenting all that I am, is the key, presenting all that Jesus is, then we will give you whatever you ask. That's a key, experiential knowledge of who Jesus is. See, I know that Jesus is a healer. I know he works miracles. Because I am a miracle. I know of his saving grace and his mercy and his love kindness. Because I lived part of my life at the gates of hell. I was addicted to alcohol and drugs. In one night, Jesus delivered it from me. He extended his hand. He said, take my hand if you want to change. And I did. And I never had a desire to drink or drug after that. I battled heart failure to the point they told me I would not survive it. I'm standing before you today. Because I believed in Jesus and he gave me a new heart. I was so sick with chemo and cancer, they told my wife this January that I wasn't going to make it. But here I am, I'm standing before you again today. You know, We have to believe those things. But in that desire that I started praying, I write. I'm a scribe. I don't know where it come from. It started a couple years ago. That I write all the time when I'm before God. A prayer that I pray, a worship song that's on, a prayer that someone else may pray up here. And I just start writing. A lot of times I don't even know what I'm writing. I become a pen in a master's hand. And I start writing. God, teach me how to walk as close to you as Enoch was. Teach me. So he started pointing me to scriptures, which I laid some out here. You know, in Genesis, it says, all the days of Enoch were 365, and they walked with God. He was, and then he was no more. He become so close with God that God just took him away. He never experienced death. I think that's the key to a lot of us in this room. You know, and it says by faith in Hebrews, by faith Enoch was taken away so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had a testimony that his life pleased God. And by looking, how did he do that? And he did that by continue lifting his heart up before God. Always seeking God and asking him to teach him his perfected will that he may live it out in his life. We need to be about that. For so many of us have been trained, nurtured by the world, that we seek to be what they say we can be or what they've educated us to be. Really what we need to do is only seek what God says we are and to become that. Because that is a deep desire, a thing that lies within us that would flourish as he nurtures it if we would allow it, if we would step out of the way. That's what I do when I'm up here. I'm asking God, step Denny out of the way, because I know within myself there is nothing I have of any importance that any one of you want to hear. Because I know that I am nothing on the outside of Jesus. You know, also in John it says that I am the vine, my Father's divine dresser. He prunes those that bear fruit that they may continually bear more fruit. And he says that you can do nothing on the outside of me as a vine could do, as a branch could do nothing connected to the vine. Because without being connected, I know I'm going to become a withered up branch and die. So I have to stay connected to Jesus, to the vine of life, the tree of life, that we may flourish and bear fruit that would bring honor and glory to him and the Father, not to ourselves, not to no one, only for him. You know, I say that Dave and Bob and me were the three musketeers, all for one and one for all. You know, that's what the three musketeers said. That's what we are. We're all for one, one for all. We live for Jesus. We're about Jesus, and that's all. You know, it goes on that it's, in Enoch, you know, I learned there's a lot you can learn about Enoch. There's the books of Enoch that are not part of our Bible. They are part of the Greek Orthodox Bible. They're a part of the Torah. They're an extra part of the Torah is the books of Enoch. Enoch was the first man that made testimony of God and wrote down the words of God. He was the first one to do writing and understanding. He was the first one that did mathematics. He was the first man to understand astronomy. He was the man that God delivered the days of the week, the days of the month, the days of the Sabbath, and the seasons through. Many called him the wise one, but many of his day hated him because they didn't like the message that he delivered. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. He was Noah's great-grandfather. He was alive upon this earth at a time that the earth was in the darkest it had ever been. It was at the darkest where God was preparing to destroy it with a flood. He revealed that to Enoch that his great-grandson would be the one that he would use. They were the same bloodline. A lot of the family that was on the ark was Enoch's family, the same as Noah was. But God translated Enoch to heaven without experiencing death. And for me, Davy, and for Bob, we're in unity and agreement that we believe there's a very possibility we will be alive to see Jesus come. And if we are, we are of that generation that is also going to be translated to heaven without seeing death. That's what the rapture is. As we see Jesus riding through the sky on that great white steed, we will go up to join the armies, the host of heaven. And the dead that he has rose, and we will come without experiencing death, be translated in the blink of an eye into our supernatural body, and truly become all God says we are. That's what Enoch experienced by faith. I found out, which I never really knew. I have a degree in Bible, but I never knew exactly when was the first time that the people believed in a Redeemer, a Messiah. And it's all the way back to Adam and Eve. After the great fall, they repented of their sin to God. God forgave them, but they still had to stand accountable for their sins. So he spoke to them that there would be a Redeemer, and they believed that their first child was going to be the Redeemer. It was going to redeem them back to God in the fullness. But it wasn't, but it traced all the way back to there. Enoch spoke the message of the Redeemer, of the Messiah. He spoke a message to return to God and repent of your wicked ways, for the wrath of God is ready to come upon this earth. And he did all that, all the time. Everything Enoch did, if it was at in his family at home, in his business, in the marketplace, he was continually asking God, will this please you? Do you approve of this? And see, we live in a time a lot like he did. There's a lot of sin, a lot of things going in the world that can overtake us. I believe for what I'm speaking is for myself as much as for anyone here. I believe for too long we have looked like the world. The word says we are not to. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. It is said that Enoch was so close to God that the presence of God rested upon him, that his face was illuminated. The first time I thought that was when Moses. But Enoch's face was illuminated. It says even to the unbelief knew that he had the presence of heaven upon him. We need to be as of such. We become, the Lord told me a long time ago, I decided that we are a byproduct of our surroundings. We become what we surround ourselves by. If we surround ourselves by the world, even with all good intent, with a heart to want to save everybody, you're going to end up looking like the world. Jesus, Enoch meditated and prayed all the time to God. He asked him, teach me your perfected will that I'm going to live it in my life. He focused upon the attributes, the character of Jesus that God had revealed to him as Redeemer. And he started to reflect that image. As we become, as the word says we are, if we're come from glory to glory, as looking into a mirror, we see the image of God. That's what the people need to see and hear. Our conversation needs to be one that would point people to Jesus. I ask the Lord to teach me acts of kindness and love that will draw people to him, that they would see Jesus. That's what we need to do. It ain't because we go out there and jump up and down and preach a fiery message. That was, some will do that. and some are called by God to do that. But the majority of us are called to reflect the image of Jesus, to walk as Jesus walked. In that long suffering, that forbearance, in that love kindness, in that mercy, that compassion, that forgiveness, giving on to the poor and the needy, serving those around us. I believe we're in a time that we need to pray as we've never prayed before. I recently, on a Monday morning, they were up praying for America, and I wrote this prayer out that says, "We run to you, Jesus. We run for our life. In the day that we live, I think we need to be doing that, all of us. We need to be running to Jesus. We need to run for our life, because our life and life of families can be at stake. It's not about our own strength. I've come to a point that I know that I am weak. I'm nothing but a weak, mere, sinful man. But by faith, I grab hold of the strength of Jesus. And the word says, in my weakness, he is made strong. So he is strong. I let him fight my battles for me, because I am not a warrior. You know, and what actually I heard the Lord said, that it's doing that I started to understand. This is why I got Living Enoch and John the Baptist. It's because Enoch, they said, had the spirit of Elijah. Said John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. There's so much in common of both men. I wrote down the scriptures and everything that you can study on John. You know, John the Baptist, you know, he was in Jordan, Galilee region. He spoke a message of repentance. He baptized people for the submersion of their sins. He was one that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. One crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare a way for the Lord, make a path straight." He knew that. John knew that he was called that. John chose to live the life in the wilderness. He was born a Levite. His father was a temple priest. It was just his heritage to be a temple priest, to live a life as a temple priest, which is a very good life in those days. His mother, Elizabeth, was Jesus' mother cousin, so they become cousins. He was 6 months older than Jesus, but he knew as a young child that he was to live a life as Nazareth, set apart for the working of God. So he chose to live a life of a hermit. Instead of being a fancy priestly robe he could have wore and the breastplate they wore, he wore clothes made of camel skin, girded a belt around his waist, which was the word of God, is basically what it was for. And he delivered a message to repent, turn from your wicked ways, prepare a way for the coming of the Lord. We're in those days that we need to do that more than anything else. Every one of our lives need to represent that in some way. Every one of us has a message. I believe everyone in this room is some part of a messenger of God. Every one of you have a song within you that has to be ignited and has to come forth for Jesus to return. And that is, these two men were in harmony with heaven. Enoch and John the Baptist lived to be in harmony with heaven and with God's plan for their life, not for their own. They feared no one. When the priest and the Sadducees of the day and come and question John, he spoke up with boldness. And he said he scorned them for not following the word of God, because they believed they were sons of Abraham. So they were automatically in. They didn't need to do anything. That isn't what the word says. It is by faith. By faith we can do nothing. By faith all things are possible. By faith we are saved. By faith believing. You know, John had the privilege of baptizing Jesus. He's the one that confirmed when the Holy Spirit ascended upon him that this is the Son of God. Jesus summed up John's ministry by saying, "There is no one born of a woman as such of John the Baptist." John, a lot of them at that time called him John of the Wilderness or the Baptist. No one was John the Baptist. That was his name, the Baptist or John of the Wilderness, for he lived in the wilderness. But they had their heart set. They set themselves before God. They looked to heaven. They didn't look to anything else around. That's what I want to encourage you to do today. That's what the Lord has put upon my heart. That if we're going to make it through the days ahead, which if we believe, any of us believe, that we may be in a generation that Jesus is going to return. And for me, I believe everything I read in the Bible. I literally believe it. Because I think it is a follow word of God. And I think it was wrote for us to believe it. I believe what it says. I believe what it says we could possibly endure before the coming day of Jesus. That's why it's called the great and terrible day. Because it says that things are going to be as never before. And if the days weren't shortened, not even the elite would make it through. If we're to make it through, we have to be as Enoch was, that he knew that God was right beside him by faith. And the same God that walked with him was Jesus. Jesus. We have to know he was right beside us. We have to believe that with every bit of our heart, mind, and soul. It has become experiential knowledge. And the only way we do that is by beholding him. By beholding him and by beholding him. By setting ourselves and listening. Not going with this long of a prayer request. Because he already knows everything we want, need, and desire. We need to go for one reason. To be with him. To come. To say, "I want to be with you, Jesus. For who you are. And what you did for me. I was in a miry pit. And you raised me up and set my feet upon a rock. You covered me with your blood that made me as white as snow." If that don't set your feet a-dancing, your heart a-singing, I don't know what else will. It does me. It always has. You know, I am a worship junkie. I could worship. I think the Lord is preparing me for eternity. When we worship continually, will we never stop? We'll be like the elders. We'll worship God. We'll fall down, cast our crowns before him, pick ourselves back up, worship, fall down, cast our crowns. Continually. Being slain in the spirit. I believe the Lord has showed me that as close as we are to Jesus now, it's as close we're going to be to him in eternity. I'm talking about salvation, about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm talking about walking with him and talking with him to our prayers takes on a form of a conversation with our best friend. With our best friend. To when we become ourselves in harmony with heaven and with the will of God, then together we are in harmony. That's when we're in perfect unity, when our hearts individually are in harmony with heaven. Then we become in perfect unity found in Jesus Christ. Then we become the bride that will shine forth the glory of God. Then we will do the things greater than what Jesus did. But first, it starts with us. It starts with us. As an easy road, everything in the world's going to try to stop you. But I encourage you to earnestly pray to set yourself before Jesus. For all of us that are fathers and grandfathers and husbands and great-grandfathers, as myself, we have to take and bind our wife and our children to the altar of Jesus Christ. In faith believing. Pray for him. War for him. And never stop. That I am not telling any special. But I pray for my family. Every one of them. Through our great grandchildren. A minimum of 3 times a day. I lift him up before God. And I believe that there's going to be a time where it's got to be more. I want to be able to continue to lift my heart before Jesus, no matter what I'm doing. If I'm here, if I'm sitting there worshiping, praying, reading, writing, meditating. If I'm out mowing yards, am I riding my Harley? If I'm walking through the mall. If I'm crowded by 50 people talking. My mind is still upon heaven. I'm focused upon what God wants to say. What's he want to do in this moment through my life? Who does he want his love to reflect? I ask myself, how does this reflect the love of Jesus and my love? As fathers, we need to continue to think about that and correcting our children, how we speak to our family, the times that no one else sees us. But all the time, we need to do that. We need to believe as never before. We have to have a faith that will stand against the gates of hell when they blow and not waver in them. Because everything around us is going to, there's going to be a time when Christianity, the name of Jesus, could be outlawed. Where we ain't going to have a Bible anymore because we won't be able to have them. So the Word of God has to be wrote upon your heart and inscribed in your mind by the finger of Jesus. And you do that by beholding him. Where you know the word. You don't have to give an address as long as you know the word. That's what Jesus did. He said it's wrote. That we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. That's what we need to do. I cannot convey to you enough the importance of it in the hour that we live, in the day that we live. It's up to us. You know, I confessed and asked God to forgive me for my generation standing by and being quiet too long. Because my generation is when they took prayer out of school, when they started removing the name of God from all the office buildings and everything else. We were silent. If the body of Christ is who we were supposed to be, that would have never happened in this nation. Because this nation was founded on the principles of God. The founding fathers were all believers in God. The first congressional meetings were held in churches. And the Constitution was wrote not to keep church out of the state, but keep the government out of the church. The church was supposed to have the right to speak into the government, to be that voice. We need to be that voice. As John the Baptist, we need to say, make straight a path for the return of the Lord Jesus. Turn from your ways. Turn from your ways and return to God. Return in prayer and fasting and meditation and study and setting and listening and writing. Looking upon Jesus. Read the characters of Jesus. Because when it meant that we present all that he is, that means that we know him as our healer, as a provider, as our comforter. We know him as the horn of our salvation. We know him as the King of glory. We know him as the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. We know him in all of his strengths. We know him because I know my legacy is I'm a friend of Jesus, and he's a friend of mine. And I walk with him, and I talk with him. He wants to be our friend. The word says that he's the lover of our soul, our friend, and our bridegroom king. He wants to be our closest friend. Our closest friend. For too long, including myself, I always come before God, putting on my Sunday best and looking all clean. He knows who I am. So I've come to reality, we're supposed to be ourselves with Jesus, like we are with our friends. We talk to him openly. We express our hearts. We express our hurts. We express our anger, our frustration, our dreams, our visions. To see what he has to say about those things. To let him heal us as if we bind ourselves to him. Because all of us have been suffered wounds in our heart and our mind, places we don't even know. Because life is tough. He says it is. It is not a walk in the park. And it definitely ain't going to be a walk in the park in the days ahead if I believe what's coming. You know, there's a lot of people that say, how it could happen, a financial collapse of America. You know, it could be a terrorist attack. Could be a national or natural disaster, a major fault earthquake across the Midwest, split the nation in half. I read, only God knows. The Word says that only the Father knows the day of return. I believe we're supposed to live the life like the day will be our last one. We need to live each day like that. Celebrate in it. Be all that God wants us to be, and as close to Him as we humanly can be. He wants us to push in hard to where it's uncomfortable, to ask questions that we never thought before that we'd ask. Release our thoughts and our hurts and our feelings as we kept silent our whole life about. He's ready and willing and wants you to release Him, to let Him be that friend. But it all starts by coming to our knees. You know, continuous prayer, it actually says we should be. You know, I thought about that. We can't be on our knees continually, but we can be continually lifting our heart up before God as Enoch did. Continually, consciously focused upon heaven, continually asking God, what is it for this moment and this time that you would have me do? What would you have me say? What would you have me be? That is what we need to do. That's what Enoch did. That's what John the Baptist did. They didn't waver. John lost his head over Harold and not even his real wife. Woman living with him, he called his wife and his daughter. You know, asked for John's head. He's beheaded. But he stood to the end. He never wavered in faith. His message never wavered. We, as Christians, many times have compromised the word of God, worrying about offending somebody, what we say or how we look. We could has to stop worrying about what people think about us. For there's only one that we need to worry about what He thinks about us, and that's Jesus. See, for the day when I see Him from a distance, I want Him to cry out. As the Father, the prodigal son said, here comes my son, and Jesus, here comes my friend. Everyone, look, my friend is coming. I want to hear that. That is my lifetime goal. It's to be the best father, the best husband, the best father, the best grandfather, and great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather, because the Lord told me to pray for four generations. So that's what I do, for four generations. Three times a day, at a minimum, sometimes four. I believe we cannot love our wives, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren the way that we need to love them until we love them with the heart of Jesus. And to do that, we have to behold Him. We have to ask Him, how do you view my wife, Ev? How much do you love her? How much do you love my children? What do you say they are? What do you see them being? But that takes time. Commitment to set the time to start to make priorities in your life revolve around the number one priority, which is Jesus. For that is my strongest passion. My number one thing in my life is Jesus. I wear a ring that was on my ring finger, but I lost weight and it don't fit. It says Jesus. My wife had it made for me and gave it to me on our anniversaries. And she gave it to me and she said, it's because you're married to Jesus first, then me. And she said, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I believe that is the way it's supposed to be. Because by doing so, then I love her with the heart of Jesus. I treat her with the heart of Jesus. I treat her as a prince, as a king, princess of the kingdom of heaven. I see her as a princess, a beautiful princess that God loves. We need to view our wives, our husbands, our children those ways. But it comes by beholding Jesus. Like I said, these ain't notes or study guide. I encourage you to dissect. There's many books. I didn't realize it, but when I put in the computer, the life of Enoch, all kinds of stuff come up. The books of Enoch, like I said, are not part of the Bible. You can get them. You can read them. they're quite interesting because it talks about the time when the fallen angels came to earth, took women to be their wives, and bore children, which were the giants, which Goliath was that David slayed. It talks about that, the very dark time, and how Enoch stood. And another time, when things were pretty corrupt in the religious system of the day, John the Baptist stood. Both of them declared the Redeemer, the Messiah, is coming. Turn from your wicked ways and return to God with prayer and fasting. I say, please, I'm begging you, return to God in prayer and fasting. Monica, Michael, believe the promises God has spoke to you about Boo and nothing else. They told me twice that I was going to die. Only God is the author and the finisher of our faith and of our life. Only He can say when it's over. And never believe a word until you hear Him say it. Because until then, stand upon those promises, declare them back to Him. I believe that Boo is going to grow and be a man of God and preach the word. That is what's in my heart, and that was in my heart a long time ago. And I've never wavered from that, even when I heard he was sick. So I believe he's going to do that. I guess that's it. I could go on. You know, like I said, I write all the time. I could have wrote 40 pages of notes. This is just stuff I wrote, and the scriptures that the Lord pointed me to as I tried understanding the life of Enoch. As I started asking, I thought, if I want to walk like Enoch, how did he really walk with God? What did he do? And that's what he did. He lifted his heart before him. He kept his focus, his attention upon heaven, not upon man. He withdrew. And John the Baptist did the same. And I believe, that's one thing I want to add, I believe we're supposed to do. And I don't know what it looks like, how we're supposed to do it, but I believe that we need to start withdrawing from the world. The world's way of doing things. And Revelation even says, the Lord says, come out of Babylon. The world system is Babylon. It's Babylon's system. We need to start withdrawing from that. We need to start drawing into a body of Christ, of lovesick believers, of ones, as I say, you know, but writings, what I say, they're writings of a madman. Because I'm a man that's madly in love with Jesus. So it's made me mad for him. So I write, I meditate, I pray, I focus upon the attributes of Jesus, asking, Lord, teach me your perfected will for my life, that I may live it out. Let me see you as in a mirror, that I may reflect that, your love, kindness, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. Your words of life, your words of love, to all my life comes in contact with. If they do me wrong, they do me right. It has nothing to do with who we are. That is my prayer. And I want to release that over this room. That there is Enoch and John the Baptist alive in this room at this time. And Lord, I ask this day as we come, lifting our hearts up as I lift all of our hearts up before you, that you would teach us your perfected, perfect will for our lives, that we may walk it out through acts of kindness and mercy and compassion and love to all those around us. That the words that we speak would bring life. Lord, that we would continue to run to you when we fall. We would run to you with our arms outstretched, knowing that you would be ready to grab us. It embraces. See, that is something I've learned that I've watched. That so many times when things are going wrong in our life, or we know we've sinned or did something wrong, that we want to stay back from God, as Adam and Eve did in the garden at the first sin. But you know what I've learned? That Jesus is always there with his arms open. I sin, the Holy Spirit instantly convicts me of it. I can't say I never have bad thoughts or anger pops up, whatever it may be. But I run to Jesus instantly when the Lord convicts me of that. The Spirit convicts me and I run to Him. And I fall on my face at the foot of the cross. Please forgive me, Lord, for my flesh is weak. My spirit says yes. Like Paul said, my spirit says yes, but my flesh is weak. Run to Jesus. Run to Him. As your life depends on the life of your wife or your husband and your children, your family. Believe in the Word of God. Every line of it, believe it. Don't omit, don't take out. It says we ain't to do that. Believe it and believe who He says that we are. That we are a new creation founded in Christ Jesus. That we have been washed as white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. That our minds have been renewed in Christ Jesus. It says to take up the armor of God. That the fiery arrows of the enemy will be quenched. I come to believe I never take mine off. I don't have to pick it up. I put it on and it stays there. We need to believe that. Believe it. Until we see it shine radiantly upon us, that we know that we are children of the living Lord God, that we are the fathers and mothers and the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He is our King of glory. Us, each one of us, have to understand that we are the bride of Christ. And for man, that doesn't bother me a bit because I love Jesus. I know in heaven there is no gender. When He speaks, He says, a man, that's man and woman. When He says bride, that's man or woman. But we, Chris, Mercy, Ev, you have to know that you are the bride of Christ before we can be the body as the bride. We have to know it individually. We have to believe it with every bit of our fiber. We have to believe the Word. We have to let our lives live it up. We have to draw strength from the weak. We have to draw courage from the cowardice and become all that Jesus said we are. Raise our head high, raise our sword, have our armor on, and believe in faith that we are victorious through Christ Jesus.